This tape was made in one of the great meetings. I was preaching the Word of God, and God was blessing. Souls were getting saved. And I thought this would be good to put on this in this album, because I know you'll understand when I'm moving in the Spirit. And to be in one of these meetings always feels good to me, because I know that I'm preaching through the Word of God. And this whole tape is in the meeting, and I know you bless it. May God bless you. And I'm preaching to the glory of God, and God will bless you forever and ever. May God bless you as you listen to the rest of this tape. I'm Dr. Percy Clay. God bless you.
You may be seated. Oh, glory. Before going into heaven, because it's hard to get out of there once you get in. But I didn't want to come back, but I did. A few things that I would like to register as to background. First of all, I would like to give honor where honor is due. Honor to a precious man of God. I'd call him Dr. Hayes, because an old doctor who used to know an old family doctor was Dr. Hayes, and I can't help but call him Dr. Hayes. And you know something? He looks a lot like my grandfather. That's a fact. I looked at him tonight from down there, and I got a picture of my grandfather, and I'm going to let him see it, and you'll say he's a dead image of my grandfather. I know, a live image. A live image. Hallelujah. Glory. Let me tell you a bit about that grandfather of mine. He saw angels and believed in angels. And he also saw the devil. One time he was over there in England milking the cows, and the devil poked his head through the cow barn window, throwed a bucket of milk in his face, took the stool and chased him right down the village street. Devil, don't you put the disease on my cows. That was when it was the disease, bad disease, that was destroying the herds. Grandfather Cox, who was in this country, preached all over Texas, this part of the country too, here, back before the turn of the century. My mother was born in Virginia, my father in England. I was born in England. And my aunt, at 92 years old, who was secretary of a church for over 60 years, got me to drive her in a brand new Pontiac all through this country about, oh, it's at least 20 years ago. She stopped in this area somewhere and says, "There's a church where your grandfather preached." She had it all down in record. And the snow was on the ground here. It was the winter time, and she said, "Beautiful snow." She'd jump out of that Pontiac, and I had to watch her. I thought she was going to get killed to her she time, but God took care of her. Said, "This is the place." She took 11 pictures of that church, somewhere around here somewhere. All through this country, he was a Baptist preacher, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, and spoke in other tongues back in 1908, 9 or 10 along in there. I'm not supposed to keep time of track of dates, times, or seasons. He was out there plowing in the field, and when he was plowing out there with his Bible on the plow, there he got the call, long before that, to come to America. And my grandmother was pregnant, born way back in 1843. And I have her a prayer book, and it's some prayer book. Have the family Bible, which is a big family Bible, wooden lid Bible, with all the family where they were born, all the way back. Mother born in Virginia, and that gave me American citizenship back in 1920. Went before the United States judge. He was an Alabama man, Christian. And he took me out to dinner that night. Took just 15 minutes to make me a citizen, because I had my mother's birth certificate, my own. Back in those times, the laws were different. That was before the days that you took out newspapers. And I served in the American forces. We won't go through that, because that's just nothing to me. But the main thought tonight is heaven. And I also give honor to some of these gentlemen that I've met. Kenneth Copeland and Gloria. I knew Kenneth before he started out preaching. I can go a little background in the United States. Being a associate member of a church in Fort Worth of Grace Temple, Harold and Lou Nichols, who have been supporting the work for many, many years, and young Nichols, Wayne Nichols, I took him into the jungles with me quite a few years ago as a young boy. And Kenneth Copeland was in that meeting there and heard the farewell sermon that I preached about going to the mission field. Young boy went. He's now an auditor for Kenneth Copeland. Then I go back also to T.L. Osborne and Daisy. Daisy and T.L. Osborne come into the meeting when we was having a great missionary meeting. Portsmouth, Ohio. They'd just come back from somewhere overseas. Discouraged. So forth. But they saw what God was doing. What God was doing and how He was moving in that meeting. How souls were getting saved. How people were getting healed. He went there to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Brother Shibley's and started the work there in Brother Shibley's front room, who was friends of mine and supported Brother Shibley, supported the work for many years. I'm an old-time missionary, and I'm not very finicky about my food because I've eaten rice and beans, and we lived on tuna fish, canned tuna fish, for 3 months. One time, going down the Rio Putumayo, went into a native home to eat in a first-class restaurant with chickens roosting overhead. But we thought this was the most wonderful dinner of rice, beans, and yucca in the middle of the night because we were coming down the river. And that was the most wonderful food when you'd just been eating tuna fish, canned tuna fish, for 3 months. And we run out of those beautiful onions, and that's on open up a can of tuna fish. But then the last 10 days of trusting God and fasting, and then going into that wonderful home and eating, how delicious that rice and beans tasted. But God had fruit down the river. God has fruit in abundance. You see, we got down the Rio Putumayo a few more miles, a long river. That river was not charted in those days. That's a wild part of South America. What do you mean by wild? I mean, you better have God with you to go out in that part among the Indians, but I've been out there many times. We found the fruits growing on the side of the river. Papaya that big. We sliced one in half and didn't stop to get the seeds out. Just slobbered it all down because it all tasted good. And then also oranges on that river. And all that fruit that we come out of that time of fasting into a place of abundance. A place of abundance. Coming out of this place where there's nothing into an area of abundance. That's what heaven is. A place of abundance. Where the fruit never spoils. Where there's abundance of fruit in heaven. So much better tasting than any fruit upon this earth. I thank God to be in this state of Tennessee. Beautiful mountains. This is America. America the beautiful. Coming through these hills and these trees when I went through with my aunt, 90-year-old aunt, going through here. She said, when I went here she was older than my mother. And she's just a little girl. I'm talking now years ago. I worked with Smith Wigglesworth over 60 years ago. This is my background. A background of not religion, but of salvation. not a religious background, but a time of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. My father was an Anglican, my mother a Baptist, daughter of a Baptist preacher, who prayed, who spoke in tongues also. My father was a godly man, took in tramps, put a cross, crosses all over the place. My mother painted angels everywhere, angels on all the wall. So I was raised to believe that there was angels, and there was. As a little boy, my mother went to be with Jesus at 27 years old. I was just about 5 then. And I couldn't understand anything about heaven at all. By the way, I want to, before we go into this, because I get lost in this and I'm not going to remember anything, I want to give honor to Brother Osteen, who was a precious brother there in Houston, and others, and Dr. Hagen. These students that are being put forth today are not going to take the world, but are taking the world for Jesus. This message is going to the four corners of the earth, into every nation under heaven. The message of heaven. I've been invited by the Hindu leaders to come because they want to know about heaven. I've been invited by the Chinese, the Japanese. This will open the door to know who's in heaven, that Jesus is in heaven. This will open the door. And I would like to say, when this goes into every nation under heaven, then that door will be open to send your sermons in there. Won't that be wonderful? The sermons of Dr. Hagen, your sermons. God is going to open the door to get the message of Jesus into every nation under heaven. Then going back to what I was talking about, remember the Holy Ghost. Then these wonderful students that are being really raised in the Holy Ghost to go forth. And I say to you tonight, when you go out there in the field facing those faces of clay, there's not only clay, but spiritual clay. You can knock them all down by the power of one name, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. There's no man, no woman can stand the name of Jesus, or when you just one, two words, Jesus and His blood. Nobody can cross the bloodline. Nobody can reject the name of Jesus. There's absolutely no demon powers big enough or strong enough to outdo the name of Jesus. I know from where I speak. As a young missionary going into the jungles back there in 1925, my call-in was sure. There's a brother here to testify sitting there. I was in his church, and my precious brother right here on the platform, Brother Norval Hayes, made a statement, and here was a statement, that someone could go out and get $500,000. I was in that church in Greenville, North Carolina, and I made the same statement in the brother's church, that somebody was going to come with $500,000. Stand up, did it happen, brother? There he is. And the person, all right, this brother, I testified in his church that it would happen. And has it happened? Amen. The truth, and what Brother Normal Hayes said is so. There are not millions out there, but there are billions out there. Loose money, and you can get it. It belongs to us. Belongs to us. Absolutely to us. And it's there. Even got diamonds from underneath a rock in South America. Won't go into that tonight. I want to start my testimony and reality. And it all coincides with the Bible. I have been studying the Word of God, and I cannot find one flaw in the Bible as to what I saw in heaven. Not one flaw. got the scriptures written out tonight, coinciding with what I saw in heaven. So as that little boy, a little lonely boy, my mother went to be with Jesus. With this background of Holy Ghost, of angels, and of crosses, I couldn't help but think about heaven. Couldn't help but think about God, because everywhere I looked as a little boy, God was recognized. I had an uncle who was not so good. He was a drunkard. See, not all the family was pure and holy. You know, but he came down in my grandfather's church and repented and was born again and threw that whiskey bottle straight out through the front of the church. And he went flying across the street. And a fellow picked it up and smashed it and jumped on it, just like I jumped on the devil down in South America. And this happened in my background. But somehow, my mother went to be with Jesus. And at the funeral, we went 23 miles in carriages, because there was no cars in those days. Black horses, grooms, tramps who had come to the house and been clothed by my father. This was my background. Holy. I remember the prayers of my mother as she would hold me in her arms and say, as I remember those words of the boy, "You're going to be a missionary. You're going to go over the world and tell them about Jesus." My mother and I were so close. She would hold me to her breast to comfort me. But one day, she was taken away. Around the bed we were called. I'll never forget it. And the doves came flying in. Doves represent the Holy Ghost. Came flying in the room around. Flutters of doves came in that room through the open window. Then we journeyed to the funeral. I couldn't understand why they had put my mother in that box. They brought that body and put that body in the front room of my grandfather's home, filled it room full of flowers they did not do embalming. And there's so many flowers, they put them outside. And the procession, too, at my mother's funeral took 4 or 5 times from the house to the graveyard over there to put my mother down in the grave. And I saw, before she left the farmhouse, the place, I saw them place her. I peeked through and saw them place that body in that box. And all I could understand, they'd put my mother in a box. Why were they putting her in a box? I couldn't understand it. And then I went into that room. I'll never forget. I says, "Is my mother in that box?" I didn't know the word casket. "Is that mother in that box?" Housekeeper was comforting me, telling me she'd gone to heaven, but I didn't know anything that there was a real heaven. Didn't know it then. But I wanted to go where my mother was someday. So then, they were at the funeral. The graveyard couldn't hold them, so many people. But I slipped away from the housekeeper, went running so fast, and she couldn't catch me because I could really run. And I went right through the legs of those people right at the grave. I said, "Get my mother out of that box. Get her out of that box and get her out of here. Get her out of that box." They looked. They let me, and I cried at the graveside because my mother had gone to be with Jesus. I was a lonely boy. No mother to come pray with me at the side of the bed. But there was a Catholic housekeeper who taught me after the Lord's Prayer and taught me the catechism, all that I went through. All of that I went through. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Karabashanda, speaking in other tongues, under the auspices of a Texas preacher, Johnny McConnell, it lasted, and it's lasted to now, hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is real, real, real. And I was never comforted about my mother until I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said He would send us another comforter. And the Holy Ghost became my comforter. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to take my coat off. Take it off. Give it to Johnny. I tell you, I'm going to give you my shoes too. Amen. Because this is holy ground. Hallelujah. Take, that's right. Now, if you want your vest, you can have that too. The Bible says, take your coat, give them their vest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that Bible? It's Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say glory to God, everybody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So then I began to want to go where my mother was. After they took me back that 23 miles in that big house. I'm talking about a big house. Big one. This was right on the battlefield in the 1642 where the battle had been fought between Cromwell and the king. It was over the top of the dead bones the house was built. Ancestries back there underneath. But glory to God, it was a lonely place after my mummy had gone. And they put me up in that bed, that system there. You're supposed to be brave. And they put you to bed there. When they put you to bed there, they put you to bed. In a room all by yourself. There was no mother to come and comfort me. My father would read the Bible to us, the old, I got the Bible, read it. And in that room, here came a beautiful being coming through the window, stepped inside the room, stood at the foot of the bed and said, who are you? Who are you? I said, who are you? Just like little Samuel back there, I got that scripture. It was the angel, my guardian angel who'd come in there. And the first words he said unto me, be not afraid, I am your angel. I will be with you as long as you're upon this earth. I am your guardian angel. And I've got very well acquainted with him at 82. He's been walking with me and talking with me year after year. You can and you will, if you only believe, see your guardian angel. Angels are real. Angels are real. Angels are real. Say angels are real. Angels are in the Bible all the way through. Hallelujah. Then again at 14, the angel appeared to me. I went to Grandfather Cox and I said to him, I got all kinds of nationalities in my blood. Makes no difference. I ain't going into that tonight. You know, they called my brother a blue blood, my mother a blue blood, and I've never seen any blue blood yet because she's born in Virginia. All blood is red. And I'll put this in real quick. If they put the blood of an animal in that little child, that child will never live. You can't mix the blood of baboons with the blood of humans. They've never done it yet, and they never will, because it's a different altogether. They'll still have to use human blood. That's the missing link right there. Even if they took that heart and put it in that little child, still has to have human blood to make it work. Amen. Amen. Not going in that, we go back among angels. 14 years old, again the angel appeared. We're going into heaven tonight. Again at 14 years old, the angel appeared. Was going up the side of the hill, and I was at my grandfather's farm. He'd make trips to the United States by boats and preached. He was a preacher. Preacher of the gospel of the good news. I never heard my father ever, when he was preaching, ever preach bad news. The gospel's good news. And I've got no sad story to tell tonight. Only victory in Jesus, hallelujah. Victory in Him. We're on the victory side, not on the losing side. And I said to my grandfather, I saw an angel. Did you, my boy? Did you? What did he say to you? He said, I got to go to the mission field. He said, you're no longer under my jurisdiction. I can't tell you what to say anymore. You obey the voice of the Lord. You obey the voice of the Lord. And I did. And every once in a while, he'd had me and me a couple of pounds. I hid it in the haystack. We didn't take the bank. Hid it in the haystack. Made a hole in the haystack. And put that money in that haystack to make the trip. And my other grandfather, the one, he gave me one that hit the devil in the nose with a milk stool. He was handed me money. People would hand money. And I had quite a bank account in that haystack. That was a good bank because it didn't go broke. When I got that money out of that haystack, I had enough to make the trip to America on the Aquitania in 1920. Right here to the United States of America, which I love very much. Because I come to the land of where my mother was born. To the land of where my mother had born. I went to the place in Virginia where she was born. And I got down in that room at the place where she was born and knelt. And I tell you, that room jumped under me just like your chair did tonight. This is real. The Holy Ghost power is real. God is real. Then at 18... I came, 1925, was studying the Bible, medicine, and all these kind of things. We're not going to go into that. By the way, I performed an operation on Brother Kenneth Copeland, what's his name, Brother Best, right there in the hotel in Philadelphia. He come with a finger about that big, and he was on the way to the hospital. Don't have to go to the hospital. I'll take care of it. And I took care of his finger, and he got up there. See, that saved Kenneth Copeland a lot of money. Right there. And I was in Kenneth Copeland's meeting. God bless these precious men. In Atlanta, Georgia. And he gave me a Bible. I'll come back to heaven. I'm moving in the Holy Ghost. And he gave me a Bible. And I got it. I think a lot of that Bible. And I've had about 25 Bibles given me. And they're all good. Every one of them's good. Still got the little old 50-cent Bible. That I had when I was a little child. Got one from Brother Osteen. All over, all these men are giving me Bibles. Bibles. But I'm using the old jungle Bible tonight that's gone through the jungles, the yellow page one that's walked with me for miles and miles. And it's all the Word of the Lord. So then, I begin to have visions. And the first vision I had was of heaven. I had a vision, I had a dream. I kept having dreams. And I became a dreamer. A dreamer, not of dreaming of spooks and boogeymen, but dreams of heaven. Dreams of heaven. Dreams of heaven. Hallelujah. Did you ever have a dream of heaven? You get holy enough, you will. And then I began to have visions of heaven. One time I went to heaven riding on a mat. That was quite an experience. Got on the front room, rugging me, and all went together in a vision. The rug took off with me. I'd been praying on that rug there for about 3 weeks under intercession of prayer, and I rode the rug all the way to heaven. That's right, in a vision. But that wasn't the way it happened. And then I'd have dreams, continuous dreams of heaven. And then the ultimate happened. I dreamt and had a vision of my mother in heaven. Oh, that was some night. That was some night in a vision. And in this vision, how beautiful, in the vision I saw the great white throne. And the great white throne hasn't any paint on it. Don't worry about that. There's no paint on the great white throne. I'll tell you what makes it white tonight. Tell you all about heaven. And then I begin to pray a prayer of desperation. Did you ever pray a prayer of desperation? Not asking for a pound of butter, but asking for something special. And I reminded God of all kinds of things. I said, Father, you took Elijah in a chariot. How are you going to take me? And I said, you took Enoch and he was gone. How did you take him? And then I said, I know how Jesus went, because they saw him go and he coming back in like manner. In like manner, Jesus is coming back for you and for me. And heaven began to instruct me what was going to happen through dreams and through visions. And for 7 years, not going to keep times, dates, new moons or seasons or even feasts. I eat when I want to eat, sleep when I want to eat, and it's all in the Holy Ghost. I don't have any times. That's why I like Brother Norval Hayes, because he doesn't go on time. He goes on the Spirit, and that's the way I believe, my brother. We're right on the same wavelength. Wavelength. We're on the same wavelength. Moving for the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. 82 years old and strong as a bull. You couldn't be that way without God, because I've got to work to do. I've got to travel in every nation under heaven. I've got to be in good shape, healthy, and prosper and be in health. And I'm prospering and being in health. Healthy. I'm healthy tonight. That's right. Do I look healthy? I'm healthy. I'm healthy. So I begin to pray and remind God of all kinds of things. Got in a church one time, and I thought it was going to happen there. We got so holy and so much power in that church, I was lifting off the ground and going up, and I thought, this is the time to go. But it didn't happen there. But it happened in the presence of many. Happened in the presence of many, not just. One man's got a picture. I want to get that. Took a picture. He kind of got up a little bit, took a picture of me going off the ground. Boy, get that and put it in a book. That'll be spectacular. By the way, there's those tapes out there. You can get them all about in heaven. Go out and get some. I'm not going to go into that. I got a lot of work tonight to go into heaven with you. And then we were all struck down under the power of God. I saw the most beautiful souls in heaven. Your soul just likes you, and there's no fat women in heaven. They all become beautiful and slim. So you don't have to worry about being fat. It's beautiful. Because your soul doesn't get fat in the flesh. It only gets fat in the spirit. So your soul, when your soul just looks like you... And there's all skin colors in heaven, but everyone looks beautiful. The souls of men. I'm going to tell you what the great white throne is. It's not just white and fit for white people only. It's just fit for everybody. See, they got that interpreted altogether wrong. There's no section of heaven for the Baptists or the Methodists or the Lutherans or the Pentecostals or any man-made organization. We're all together up there glorifying the Lord before the throne of God. No separation in heaven. None. And as we were all struck down under the power of the living God, miraculous reality, everybody, Indians, oh, how precious are those Indians. We even got blue skin Indians down there. Would you believe that's Indians with beautiful blue skin? That's right. You ever see a blue skin man? We got them down there. Because they all belong to the Master's bouquet. You understand what I'm saying? The Master's bouquet. So I saw all the souls of all, A-double-L, all nationalities, from the Eskimos to the extreme south of the Argentinians, to India, to the Orient, to Europe, to all over the world, I saw souls of men of the whole world. So the whole world is represented in heaven. When we were struck down, flat on our backs, and completely lost all mental thinking. All of it was gone. All of self was gone. Every bit of me was gone. Every bit of thinking was gone. The blood was still running through my veins. The doctor examined me, said my heart was beating. But the mind had completely died. Had completely died. A coma. But my own soul come out of my body, and my soul standing there looking at myself. My soul standing there looking. What a pathetic looking thing I thought that was laying there. But it wasn't. God had fixed it. My angel's alongside of me, and my angel come to the left. And my angel said, I haven't been to heaven since you was born, and I'm getting excited about going too. And then the angel of the Lord come. If you ever saw an angel of the Lord, Daniel back in Daniel. I'll give you the scripture. Not going to take time to read them. Turn your Bibles, 10th chapter, mark it, 10th chapter of Daniel, from the 7th verse on through to the 13th. Read it through when you get home. I'm going to give you scriptures to read here tonight. And I'm not going to quote them, because you can take them home and read them. Read all what happened, why Daniel had a long wait for the archangel to come. The prince of Persia stopped it, and the devil's trying to stop me from going to heaven. One man said to me, he said, you just waste your time praying. I said, you're going to go crazy if you don't watch out. Says, praying for you. You know how long you've been praying? He reminded me, says, you've been praying. He said, God's not going to take you to heaven. He took you a long time ago. You just quit praying. Go back to preaching. But you see, you've always got that one who tried to discourage you. But no, the little boys in the school back home, when I started school, they'd come to me, Percy, what, did you see an angel last night? And the neighbor across, and the doctor, and everybody would ask me. And people in this country had a lot of faith with me, knowing that I was going to go. A lot of faith going with me. What dream did you have? What dream did you have? What vision did you have? The Bible tells that Peter, Jesus told Peter, lovest thou me, feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me, feed my lambs. And I want to feed you about heaven tonight. You're God's sheep and God's lambs. And I want to feed you and tell you something, the truth about heaven tonight. The truth about heaven. You're God's lambs and you're God's sheep. God's lambs and God's sheep. Hallelujah. How great is our God. And how great is His name. I would like to say without a word, if you will please, God is so good and God is so real. When we get into heaven, you're going to see how real heaven is. So we started up, up, up. Going up, up. And when we begin to lift the ground, the angel of the Lord in that sword in his hand went through that dark place where the satellites is running the devil out of there. Went right through that dark place, right through it. And that we saw it to the left and to the right. The demons moved back while we went through. They moved back by the power of the Lord God's servant, the archangel, with his sword so powerful. The flaming sword. That fire, that sword, had been dipped in the altar, the brazen altar. It had been dipped in the brazen altar. And that's why that sword was so powerful. And that through the power of God, through the flaming sword, we went up, 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 going up. What a feeling. You'll do that someday. A 6-hour journey. I mean, we was traveling. because heaven's a couple of trillion miles from here. Can you figure that? And on the way up there, I'm going to tell you something tonight that will rock your mind and blow your mind. On the way up there, the angel said, that's the new earth God's created, and it's on fire already. It's full of fire. That's the new earth. And it was like a great big fire shining over there. The new earth is not going to need a sun to light it up. It's going to be lit by God. And there's that. And he said, and I got thinking about that. So I called up, when I got back, called up an astronomer friend of mine in England who I went to school with. I said to him, he said, I've heard about it. Percy, you've been to heaven. I said, that's right. He said, we're hearing about it over here. Why don't you come over and tell us about it? And I'm going over in Smith Wigglesworth territory. He invited me over to preach where Smith Wigglesworth preached, right up in Yorkshire. And so, he said, we're building now a telescope. And he said, which way did you go? Which way did you go? They want to see, they look at it. The astronomers look at the outer out there, just like you're looking over the map of the United States. I said, when we went up, we saw Sweden. When we went up, I said, we saw Germany, saw Europe, and I saw England. We're going up. Oh, he said, I know you went up. He said, you went up that area where there is no stars. You went up through the empty space. I said, that's where I went. Tell me, he said, I know you tell the truth. We're going to investigate that, he said. And he called me up about 2 weeks ago, and he said, we found your star. And it's coming all over the American televisions now. It was on NBC and everything. And they can't figure out. They're so dumb, some of these television people. They're so dumb, they don't know what God's got, something so glorious out there. But yet they found it. And it's out there. But they'll never get a telescope that'll reach heaven. When you can think of heaven all those billions of miles away, this is where you'll spend eternity. Traveling up, up, up. And I saw the different stars which I could identify pass in the sun. And gave me eyes to look into the sun. You try and look into the sun, you just can't do it. But I could look right into the sun, see what the sun was made of. Passed a couple of more suns. And then out into where the stars were singing. If you ever got out there amongst the singing stars, out among the singing stars where they're singing and looking toward heaven and God singing, those stars are glorifying God. And God said to Job, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And he couldn't answer him. Where were you, Job, when I put those stars in place? He could not understand and answer the question. But I can answer the question tonight. I've been to heaven. And where the stars was put in place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Then we came to thunderings and lightnings and came to the voice of God. The voice of God was speaking out of the thunder around heaven and out of fire. Back the Hebrew children back there, they went by a fire. And they went by a cloud. They went by fire. They followed the fire. And without the fire, my Bible says he will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Don't stop there. And with fire. From the throne of God. That's where it comes from. The throne of God. Could have a drink of water. Hallelujah. Thank you. You just got to be normal. I've got to just be normal. Thank you. Don't get excited, because what I'm telling you is coming from heaven. Real and beautiful. So we begin to come to this area. An angel of the Lord said, we're going through that fire. You may go through some fire down here, but you're already going through the fire when you get up there. After we got through the fire, we saw heaven's gate, so the outer perimeter, the outer gate.